Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along. My fellow Americans, Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for November 19th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed. Our blueprint is the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances, absolutely brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful, restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject liberty. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We love liberty, ladies and gentlemen. We reject tyranny. By the way, a quick recap of Saturday's broadcast. Donald Trump warns the media that he and his staff will leave if he feels disrespected at press conferences. They're going to rewrite the rules, and if they don't obey the rules, then Donald's going to sue. Well, I don't mean to be offensive here, but Donald's got a big mouth. He talks about how bad the press is, but he jumps straight into the arms of those who he says are the enemy of the people over and over and over and over. All right, Senator Mike Lee broke down an incredible detailed discussion of federalism and the separation of powers, did a phenomenal job. Orrin Hatch receives Medal of Freedom from Donald Trump. That's a shame and a half. Hour two of Liberty Roundtable Live on Saturday. We had our guest on, Mr. Greg Mura. We talked about the history of the deep state. Put your boycott bullseye on Target this holiday season. Do not shop at Target, please. We talked about how our military has been decimated by design. We also talked about our great moral decline. We talked about the deep state and the fall of the Constitution and the rise of a shadow government, an article written by Mike Lofgren. He's with 10th Amendment Center, does a phenomenal job. We also talked about this article, The Deep State, how an army of bureaucrats protected Barack Obama and is working to destroy the Trump agenda, writes Jason Chaffetz. Believe it or not, it's actually a book that Jason wrote. But the sad part about it is many people say Jason kind of doubled down as part of the deep state when he was there. I tried to get a hold of Jason to see if we could interview him about his book and kind of get caught up on to speed on things. But hey, Jason's harder to find than the Pimpernel, just saying. Only solution, ladies and gentlemen, morality in the people. There is no other answer. We need to pray and repent and learn to forgive. That is the answer to the problems we face in America. The founders understood it, and we need to reiterate that reality, to say the least. All right, that's a recap of the broadcast that took place just on Saturday. And news the networks refuse to use today starts now. Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org, our guest. Welcome back, my friend.
Thanks for having me, gentlemen. Good to be with you.
You're very welcome. We have so much to discuss, it's hard to even fathom. Let's first talk about chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Lindsey Graham. It's good news, huh?
Well, good news for the deep state, you might say.
What? Wait a minute. Isn't it awesome news? Oh, man. I thought the Republicans had control of the Senate and their big increased gains were just delightful.
Wow. Well,
not true, huh?
If you thought that, you'd be along with 99% of the rest of the.
And you'd also be hallucinating, huh?
That's exactly right. Senator Graham, he is pro-war, pro-surveillance state, pretty much everything that's bad about this country. He's for it, and so it's really good news for the deep state, but bad news for the American people. He is a fanatic, Sam, when it comes to warrantless wiretapping, mass surveillance, indefinite detention, and even torture. So you can expect him to push his pro-war, pro-surveillance, violation of Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights agenda in the coming years. And by the way, Sam, Utah's Senator-elect Mitt Romney, he supported warrantless wiretapping and surveillance in 2004 when, in a speech at the National Press Club, he said this: "The key to effective homeland security, in my view, is intelligence. Finding the attackers before they attack, gathering and analyzing tips, monitoring suspects, wiretapping, surveillance, all of the tools associated with intelligence work. It's aided measurably by the Patriot Act, perhaps our most effective new tool. Wow. I mean, that was back when, that was just after the Patriot Act had passed, and he was all gaga about that. He also supported indefinite detention in 2012. When during the presidential debate, you recall that asked him a question, would you have signed the NDAA, that's the National Defense Authorization Act, that Obama had signed with reservations, and on the summit, Romney said, yeah, I would have done that. I do believe that it's appropriate to have in our nation the capacity to detain people who are threats to this country, who are members of Al-Qaeda. Oh, wow. Well, anyway, he was okay with torture, too, by the way, saying in 2012 that we'll use enhanced interrogation techniques which go beyond those that are in the military handbook right now. He also said he didn't consider waterboarding torture, Sam.
So I'm not sure who's worse, Mitt or Lindsey.
Well, I think, unfortunately, that Lindsey Graham is going to find an ally in our new, Utah's Senator-elect Mitt Romney. I think it's bad news.
Yeah, Mitt Romney supports warrantless wiretapping, doesn't believe torture is waterboarding. He spoke at the National Press Club and doubled down on that agenda. But Romney's a flip-flopper. He might just decide which way the wind blows. Hopefully Trump and allies will have enough. But Trump spent more on the deep state war mentality than anybody as well.
Yeah.
Even though he speaks against it, he spends for it, sir.
He surrounds himself with advisors who I think are not leading him the right path. They're not giving him the intelligence, the right information. So I think he continues to make decisions which are the wrong decisions, even though his instincts are pretty much the right instincts.
Wow. I mean, it's hard to even understand how they can think this way, Lol. I mean, don't they get that it's just pro-war and pro-death and that it's against the Constitution?
Well, it's jobs, Sam. We've got to bring in the revenue in the door in this country, keep the lights on for all these laborers, these workers in the United States, Sam.
Wow. Mitt Romney in 2012 said, we'll use enhanced interrogation techniques, which go beyond those that are in the military handbook. He also said he didn't consider waterboarding torture. So this guy's just pro-torture, pro-death, pro-war, hawkish as all get out. The Constitution be darned.
Yeah, unfortunately. That's who Utah elected as their senator to follow Orrin Hatch's footsteps. I imagine that's what he'll be doing.
All right, so that's what the hardcore increased Republicans are going to do in the Senate. The House, no further behind. The House chooses not to end the U.S. involvement in Yemen, right?
That's right, Sam. Just last week, they voted on a rule, this House Resolution 1142, which is a rule bill allowing for debate on H.R. 6784, which removes the gray wolf from the Endangered Species Act. Now, you wonder, what in the world does that have to do with Yemen? And, well, it turns out that they attach riders and amendments to all kinds of legislation. You can't look at the title of a bill and understand what's inside the bill, because what's inside the bill is usually just a boxcar load of other stuff that doesn't relate at all to the title. Well, in this case, they voted on this resolution after the House Rules Committee inserted a real subtle but sneaky provision declaring that the War Powers Act does not apply to House Concurrent Resolution 138, which would have directed the president to cease hostilities in Yemen. Well, so this provision removed the resolution's privileged status. So if the rule passed, the House leadership could delay a vote indefinitely. So basically, Sam, what this did, the U.S. House was going to vote on not voting to end the U.S. involvement in Yemen, right? So they voted to not vote on this question.
In other words, it gets very complicated. They're playing games, though, and you got to cipher through it. What they really did is make sure that they never go on record for or against. Basically, that way they can kind of blame it on the Senate, blame it on the president, blame it on everybody but themselves. What they're really doing is shirking their duty and hiding it by shrouding it in secrecy, sir.
Exactly right, Sam. you can't go and beat up your congressman verbally, you know, by saying, well, he voted for the war on Yemen. That vote will never happen, folks. And so these other procedural votes are proxy votes for the real deal. So knowing that this was coming up, Thomas Massie and Walter Jones sent to every member of the Congress a letter. This is a short letter, but basically urging them to support a full debate and a vote on U.S. involvement in the war in Yemen. Congress has never authorized the U.S. military's participation in this Saudi-led war, which began, by the way, under President Obama in 2015. Well, you and I both know, Sam, that the Constitution gives to Congress authority to declare war, and they give that power to no other branch of government.
And so let's be clear, all funding originates in the House as well, so it's very clear when you have multiple realities in that spot.
Exactly. So when Obama began to support the war effort in Yemen, you know, he should have been impeached, right? I mean, that is not a power that the executive has under our
he first should have been called on the carpet and been shamed by the American people so they could back their congressman in standing up for what's right. And then eventually, if he persisted, he should have been impeached. If he crossed the line and didn't realize, he ought to be given, again, a fair chance to go, you know what, good point, you're right, and let the balance of power prevail. But then if he persisted, he should be impeached. Lowell Nelson with us, campaignforliberty.org. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there? And that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen, by a friend of Medjugorje. Whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, it ain't gonna happen. A book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It ain't gonna happen, by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S. 205-672-2000. 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
We're talking about the war in Yemen, ladies and gentlemen. The House literally voting not to vote. In other words, simply not taking care of business. Denying their responsibilities. Clearly, they have responsibility for funding and the declaration of war. And Barack Hussein meddled in those affairs, should have been impeached over it, but they did nothing. In fact, by de facto, they backed it, and now they're not taking responsibility for their deception. That's the bottom line, Lowell, and it's only going to get worse now. Maybe the Democrats will help us, huh?
Well, I hope so. I mean, that's probably one of the logical outcomes of the Democrat takeover of the House. They'll have the majority, apparently. That's the way it's looking right now. And then finally, maybe we'll be able to get a vote on stopping the war in Yemen, at least in the House. And, you know, that would be a great thing. We're actually beginning to turn the tide a little bit. You know, we've been pounding on this topic for several weeks, several months, I guess.
Well, for good reason. And we got to keep counting on it for years until the American people get it and force their representatives to back out of this warlike mentality. Stealing my dollars to promote war is absolutely criminalistic, to say the least. But sadly, all four Utah reps failed us in the House.
That's right, Sam. And they had no excuse. They can't claim to be ignorant about what this proxy vote really meant because of Thomas Massie and Walter Jones's letter that they sent to every member of Congress. And they spelled it right out in their letter, what the effect of their vote would be. And they said, please oppose this rule. Well, all four of the U.S. reps from Utah voted for the rule. In other words, they did not vote to end the war in Yemen. So shame on them. Shame on Rob Bishop and John Curtis, Mia Love, and Chris Stewart. And so, yeah, call them and express your displeasure for their failure to vote to end U.S. involvement in the war in Yemen.
But the good news is we are taking notes, we are keeping a record, and we've got a few good folks that deserve credit on this, too. Of course, sadly, not in the Olympic State of Utah, though, huh?
That's the sad news, I guess. We've got a lot of repenting to do here in Utah, Sam. But notable that these are Republicans who, to their credit, voted against the rule. In other words, these following people voted to end U.S. involvement in Yemen: Justin Amash of Michigan, Andy Biggs of Arizona, Rod Blum of Iowa, Mike Bost of Illinois, John Duncan of Tennessee, Louis Gomer of Texas, Morgan Griffin of Virginia, Jim Jordan of Ohio, Raul Labrador of Idaho, Thomas Massie of Kentucky, Mark Meadows of North Carolina, Ralph Norman of North Carolina, Bill Posey of Florida, Mark Sanford of South Carolina, and Dave Schweikert of Arizona. That's the hall of good guys, Sam, right there. Republicans who voted with the Democrats to end U.S. involvement in the war in Yemen.
And by the way, we got to give the Democrats credit, too. This is kind of the unsung story. The Republicans, you know, won't really praise the Democrats, even when it's justifiably worth doing so. And in this case, I submit to you, the Democrats on this are right. And a lot of them voted correctly here. The Republicans are the problem, right?
Exactly right, Sam. Well put.
And I know that's kind of weird for folks to do because they love this polarization of the left and the right, or the conservatives and the liberals, and they'll never go along with the, quote, other side. That's kind of a traitorous in the minds of those who believe in the left-right deceptive paradigm. But I submit to you that what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong every time. And this warlike mentality, this going to war without approval from Congress, and without funding from Congress approvals. In other words, you got to force your representatives on the record. Because then the people can put pressure on their representatives. When you manipulate all this, there's nowhere we can put pressure. The checks and balances are violated, and that's part of the problem. The other problem is this warlike mentality that we think the president can just engage us in without approval from the other branches of government. So the Democrats are right on this, and this is an example where I'm not interested in Republicanism or Democratism or left or right or this or that. Or, hey, the Democrats want to sell us down the river when it comes to welfare. And the Republicans want to sell us down the river when it comes to warfare. And they both simply cover each other's back enough to make sure that there's no one ever to blame. And this has got to stop. Look, welfare's wrong and warfare's wrong. Got it? Good. Thank you. Isn't that really the reality, Lol?
I certainly agree 100%, Sam. It really is. And that was a story in the House last week. Well, there's a similar story in the Senate. Because one day later in the U.S. Senate, Sam, the Senator Rand Paul's bill to deny arms sales to Bahrain, it got tabled by a vote of 77-21. So we talked about the House.
Now let's stop about it for a second. Now, when you say tabled, what that means is we're not even going to give a chance to vote on this thing. In other words, it didn't fail. We never even got to the point where we could literally vote and find out who's who.
Right. So
tactic being used, right?
Exactly the same tactic. They voted in the House not to vote on it. And then in the Senate, they voted to not vote on it, basically. And of course, the bill in the Senate was about arms sales to Bahrain. Now, Bahrain is one of the nine countries that have joined a coalition, the Saudi coalition, they're bombing Yemen. And so this was an opportunity for the Senate to deny a sale of arms to the country of Bahrain. It's just a little tiny country, a little tiny arms sales. And but the Senate did not have the courage to stop the sale of arms to Bahrain, one of the countries that's oppressing the country of Yemen.
So, now, the president could stop it if he was truly against the wars, like he said when he was on the campaign trail. Donald could stop this, though.
Yeah. Well, the good news is he hasn't started a new war since he's been in there. The bad news is he hasn't stopped one of the wars in which we're currently engaged. Utah Senator Orrin Hatch, along with several other turncoats, voted to table this bill. And this kind of surprised me, Sam, but Senator Crapo of Idaho, Cruz from Texas, Daines of Montana, and Rubio of Florida. I would have expected those four, at least, to vote in support of
Rand Paul and Cruz. I agree. The problem is you don't know if they were deceived on this or if, you know, when tough times come, you find out their true colors. It's hard for me to say which. I can't judge their hearts. All I can do is say in this case they're wrong. We have no business funding, training, and arming these people around the world. Now, Rand Paul put his bill up. It got tabled, which means we're not even going to vote on the bill. But Rand Paul speaks out boldly against the war in Yemen, and rightly so. But again, he gets ignored by those on Capitol Hill. No one's even reporting this in the media, are they?
Nobody. In fact, if you look at that video of Rand Paul's speech, it was a 25-minute speech in the Senate. Well, everybody around him, all the chairs are empty, Sam. I mean, it's just like when we went back there and toured the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate. It's plumb empty. I mean, those senators rarely go and sit in the actual Senate. But had they gone there to listen to Rand's speech, they would have been able to cast an informed vote. I worry that those senators, you know, the ones who voted to table the bill, they, you know, maybe some of them didn't understand. But I don't know. It's kind of hard to believe after they get a letter from Massey and Jones, plus they have a 25-minute speech from Rand Paul on the very subject. You know, I don't think they can plead ignorance on this, Sam. I think that they knew full well what they were doing, and they wanted to continue the revenue stream and the jobs market here in the United States at the expense of our brothers and sisters in Yemen.
Well, and then they run around and claim they're against abortion, but they don't really move the needle, and then they let death go around the world via the warlike mentality of the United States leadership at the, in my opinion, hostage holding of the people by stealing their money and funding these agendas. You know, we're just pro-death as a nation everywhere, lol. Doesn't matter if you're an elderly person, you ought to die. If you're a baby, you hopefully, you know, if you grow up, you can be in a war. Otherwise, you die before you can even get to the war. I mean, it's death everywhere, sir. And we've got to start to stand for life and peace and prosperity and lead by example and diplomatic relationships. And then I speak like that and they say, Sam, you're an isolationist. You're crazy. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm just not pro-death everywhere. I'm not pro-war. I'm not an isolationist. Are you off your rocker? But yet you just can't win with these people because they manipulate their agenda, deceiving the people all the while.
Right. You know, and the reason I'm telling you about this vote in the Senate and about the vote in the House, Sam, is to emphasize the very fact that Congress has had several opportunities just last week, and they will have several more opportunities in the weeks to come. I tell you this, it will be true. They will have several more opportunities. How do I know this? Because Mike Lee and Rand Paul and Thomas Massey and Walter Jones, the folks in Congress, there are friends on this issue, and they will make sure that Congress has more opportunities to end U.S. involvement in this Saudi-led aggression.
The point is they're trying their very best against a very hostile deep state or swamp, whatever you want to call it, and they're doing their best. But the problem is with no media coverage, the American people don't know about it, so we can't push. The checks and balances are violated at every turn, and I wish we could get Mike Lee and Thomas Massey and others to use the new media to take center stage to tell this tale. We could get the American people behind it. We could force the mainstream press to tell the story. You might say, Sam, you're not big enough to move the needle. No, but I am big enough to influence the mainstream press to force them to move the needle. But we've got to get those opportunities, and there's a disconnect somewhere. And by the way, Rand Paul doing a great job speaking out. Ron Paul's in the news, too. We'll tell you about that in seconds. Lowell Nelson with us, campaignforliberty.org. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Anyone who challenges their control is deemed a sexist, a racist, a xenophobe, and morally deformed. They will attack you. They will slander you. They will seek to destroy your career and your family. They will seek to destroy everything about you, including your reputation. They will lie. Lie, and then again, they will do worse than that. They will do whatever's necessary. The Clintons are criminals. Remember that. They're criminals.
I'm going to open up our libel laws so when they write purposely negative and horrible and false articles, we can sue them and win lots of money. We're going to open up those libel laws.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Ron Paul was one of the greatest members of the House for decades. One of the most modern patriot heroes in our lifetime. And Ron Paul, as old as he is, should be a retired grandpa, but he's working his guts out even to this day. I commend him for this. According to society, he should just be kind of retired and go away. But oh no, he takes the sacred cause of liberty much too seriously for that, and we commend him. So while Rand Paul is speaking out against the war in Yemen, and while he put a bill forward to deny arms sales to Bahrain, Rand Paul doing a great job in the Senate, Ron Paul asks a very wise question. Why are we helping Saudi Arabia destroy Yemen? Fair question, Lowell. Great question, but where's the mainstream press to cover it? This is my point. Ron needs to get on the radio and spend time with us so that we can force this narrative into the mainstream. Ron, without enough media by himself, can't move the needle, sadly. So even though he's doing a great job, no one seems to know about it.
Well, he does have the Ron Paul Liberty Report, and he does have the Campaign for Liberty. There are a number of sites where he's on. One of the great things he does, Sam, is he asks really thoughtful questions. And, you know,
and they're incredible questions. I just wish they could get heard more, but I agree.
Yeah, I agree. He really forces us to look in the mirror. I really like that about him. He says the tragedy in Yemen is the result of foreign military intervention in the internal affairs of that country. Started with the Arab Spring. spring, which had all the fingerprints of the State Department meddling, and it escalated with 2015's unprovoked Saudi attack on the country to reinstall Riyadh's preferred leader. Thousands of innocent civilians have been killed, and millions more are at risk as starvation and cholera rage. And so then he asks, how can we... he makes the observation that most Americans mistakenly suppose that U.S. foreign policy is a reflection of our values. And so then he asks the question, how can we support Saudi Arabia, a tyrannical state with one of the worst human rights records on earth, as it commits, by what any measure is, a genocide against the Yemeni people? Yemen faces the largest famine the world has seen for many decades, with millions of victims. And so he says, why is there a cholera epidemic? Well, it's because the Saudi government, with U.S. support, has blocked every port of entry to prevent critical medicine from reaching the suffering Yemenis. This is not a war. It is a cruel murder. The United States is backing Saudi aggression against Yemen by cooperating in every way with the Saudi military, targeting, intelligence, weapon cells, and more. The U.S. is a partner in Saudi Arabia's Yemen crime. Does holding hands with Saudi Arabia as it slaughters Yemeni children really reflect American values? Is anyone even paying attention, Sam? End of quote. And you can visit campaignforliberty.org website if you want to read the whole article. I heartily endorse that. I hope everybody reads his article and asks these very important questions of their congressman.
And I love what Ron is doing, asking the poignant questions, to say the least. I pray that we read these articles and understand the points being made. And I do hope we politely but insistently confront our congressmen and senators and say, hey, either one, great job, like I would say Mitt Orrin did a horrible job on this issue. We hope you change the narrative here, my friend, with Mike Lee, who stood up for the right when he gets the chance, at least on some of these issues. Commend Mike Lee for doing a good job when he does. And our four representatives in the House, shame on you for not even bringing some of these discussions to a vote. And I think we need to be informed and polite but insistent that, you know what, you keep this up and we're going to make sure you're not the next guy, the next term in Congress. We're going to make sure somebody else that'll have a more peaceful stance is in office. We've got to boldly, nobly, and independently stand for what we believe in. We can't be shy, and we need to really make a difference here. Why are we backing Saudi Arabia and helping them destroy Yemen? All right, fair question. But you know what, you got to talk about Memorial Day. It is on Saturday, November 24th this year. What am I talking about? In the 1932-33 era, Joseph Stalin, the dictator of the Soviet Union, literally starved millions and millions of Ukrainians in the genocide that we know today as Holodomor. Basically, starvation by government intention. It was disaster, ladies and gentlemen. It is horrible. And I think this is the last time we're really going to talk about it, because it'll be over after this week, but it's something that we cannot forget. It's something that we need to really double down and understand, and there's information that can help you get it. I got to give a shout out of good for Governor Gary Herbert. I rarely get to praise him, but in this case, he deserves it. I guess he literally recognized the shame there to make sure we never repeat it, and good for him, Lowell.
You're exactly right, Sam. He officially not acknowledged this genocide of the Ukrainians, this forced famine of 32-33. I do have a friend, her name is Marina Detsudia, who is organizing this Remembrance Day, this Holodomor Remembrance Day. It will be on Saturday, December 1, from 3:30 to 5 in the afternoon at the Salt Lake City Public Library. You can visit the Facebook page entitled Holodomor Remembrance Day for more information. And bottom line, this tragedy must not be forgotten, and that's why we are promoting it here and elsewhere and on Facebook and so forth. And I just want to share this one story here from this book entitled Red Apocalypse, Through Dispossession and Great Famine. Obviously, that's a translated title. That's not the I mean, this is written in Ukrainian, probably, or Russian, and that's the translation. But this is a book written by a fellow named Dmitry Goychenko. Dmitry Goychenko. He lived in Ukraine in the 1930s. He was not a victim. He did not survive this genocide. He was an enforcer. He was a communist who believed that he was doing his nation a service by confiscating food from his fellow countrymen there in Ukraine. And so his book really is a confession, because while he was doing all of this confiscation, he didn't realize what evil he was doing. You know, he just thought he was helping the state. And so he began collecting grain in the 1930s. He was sent to a village called Stepanivka in eastern Ukraine. This village had only about 200 houses in it, Sam. He forced the people to give their bread, their grain, to the state. The plan, Sam, was to collect 125,000 pudi of bread. And by bread, what they mean is grain. They mean wheat and oats and basically grain, right? Pud is a unit of measurement, about 36 pounds. And so what they were confiscating was 2,250 tons of wheat, basically, from this village of 200 people, 200 homes. Can you imagine that? 2,200 tons of wheat farmed by this village of 200 houses? That sounds like a lot to me. But anyway, by the time he got to the village, 85,000 pudi had been collected already. They had to get the remaining 40,000. And so first they gathered up all the people and asked them to give the bread voluntarily. Well, they said, sorry, we've already given everything we can give. And so they struck upon a plan. They said, we need a better plan in order to find out where the peasants are hiding their bread. And so they got together with a school teacher. And this school teacher told the children a story about this fellow who knew where, this young man who knew where his mom and dad hid the bread. And then she said, I want you to write. I don't want you to tell me where your moms and dads are hiding your bread, but just write it on a piece of paper. Or basically write a composition entitled, Where My Mom and Dad Hide the Bread. And so all the school children, they eagerly wrote this essay. And by manipulating the kids this way, Dmitry Goychenko was able to get the information about where the bread was hidden in each of these families. So the next day, he gathered the families of the village together and asked them again to voluntarily give up their wheat. Well, all of them claimed not to have any more bread. And so Goychenko said, okay, well, if we find any bread in your home, we're going to confiscate your property. And so they said, okay, you know, the peasants were thinking, well, they haven't found our bread up until now, so we'll let them search again. And so they went right to where they knew the bread was because of the essays that the school children had written. And one after another, they went to eight families, and in every case, they found the bread, they arrested the family, confiscated the property, and then sent the adults from that house off to Siberia to die.
All right, I'm going to take issue with one statement Lowell's about to make about Stalin. We'll tell you about it. Hang tight. Sam, Kurt, and Lowell on your radio.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voter fraud.
you start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, we're talking about Whole Lotta War Memorial Day on Saturday, November 24th, 2 days after our Thanksgiving, ladies and gentlemen. Sad tale to tell. Stalin, back in 32, 33, literally starved everybody to death. There's books written about it. It's a horrible tragedy. Thank heavens the Utah governor, Gary Herbert, did acknowledge and, you know, articulate how horrible this was, how we need to make sure that we realize. In America, sadly, this Holocaust isn't even recognized. If I say I don't believe the official story about World War II in Germany, then they say that I'm somehow a racist, a hater, a Holocaust denier. That's a lie. I believe it happened. I don't know that I believe all the news coming out about it exactly as it's told. For example, I believe Hitler escaped, but that's just my humble opinion to which I'm entitled. But that doesn't mean I'm a denier of any kind. It was horrible. But so was this. In fact, this was even worse than that, if you want to get technical about it, in terms of numbers of deaths and abuse of the people. It's just as bad, if not worse. But, Lowell, you mentioned that Stalin covered this up, hid this from the world, right?
Yeah.
But I submit to you, the United States hid this from the world. Stalin was the thug dictator. You'd expect him to hide it. But what about the freedom fighters all around the world that should have exposed it? We participated in this with him.
That's right, Sam. We had several journalists who courageously went to Ukraine. Some of them made it back out and did publicize the starvation and the death that was occurring there. But the most, I guess you would call them award-winning journalists, that went over there, basically they were given incentives to bring a wrong story back to the United States. And we talked about them a little bit last week, but they came back and painted a pretty rosy picture about how things were, you know, having a few food difficulties, a little bit of shortage there in Ukraine, but nothing to, you know, nothing to get worked up over. And that's the official line. That's what most of the...
And so I agree with your point that Stalin did, you know, hide this from the world, but we literally acted as a partner in the crime, tragic but true. And we did the same thing in the Vietnam reality. The pictures looked rosy and everything else, but we didn't hear the horrors of Vietnam. It took the vets coming back, telling their stories to know the truth. We lost that war literally intentionally. Now, I know they say it was a draw and we backed out, but we lost because we could have won. But we literally abused our own soldiers, put them in harm's way with their arms tied behind their back, literally and figuratively. And the tragedy is that it goes on and continues today. All right, there's parallels between Whole Lotta War and the Memorial Day we're talking about today in remembrance or commemorance of. But we also need to talk about the parallels between that and Yemen going on right this very second. Congress acting like it's no big deal. We got to help the Saudis. They're our best friends. We got to help, you know, take care of this thing. And the truth isn't making it back to the people again because the media is not there to tell the tale.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why I so very much appreciate the opportunity to talk about Holodomor and these parallels with Yemen, because right now, we are accomplices to this crime being committed against the people of Yemen because of our involvement, our selling warplanes, munitions, and targeting of information and so forth to the Saudi-led coalition there who's bombing Yemen and have been bombing Yemen for over 3 years now. And this nation of 17 million people in Yemen. They're one of the poorest countries in the Middle East, Sam. 17 million people who face starvation, who are suffering from cholera and have been suffering from cholera disease for about a year now, and they're dying, Sam. You know, at the height of Holodomor, there were about 25,000 people a day dying in Ukraine at the height of the famine there in 1933, the early part, the winter, coldest part of 1932-33. And the very same thing, and so we look back at that history, that moment or that event in history, and we think to ourselves that that's sad, and that's true. It's absolutely horrific. It's terrible sad. And yet, here we have an opportunity in our lap facing us right now. We can stop this similar thing from happening in Yemen if we would. If we would call.
We could also be the beacon on the hill, the light, if you will, for pro-peace that America should stand for, sir, to provide humanitarian kindness and love and support and help via charitable organizations and churches and nonprofits. And we could raise money in the private sector out of the love of our hearts and be a light, a beacon on a hill to how we should behave towards these nations. But we're squandering this opportunity, and the mainstream press isn't even letting you know that it's happening, folks.
Well, and thanks to Liberty Roundtable for making this information available to more people. I am so appreciative of this opportunity, Sam.
Now, the parallels are striking. They're so scary. It's beyond imagination. It's eerie, to say the least. But there's an article written, U.S. Foreign Policy, called One Wicked Truth. If that doesn't highlight the parallels and make you realize that it's happening this very second today, we're not changing our tune at all. We're not repenting from those mistakes. And that's the biggest reason we highlight it, because we can't solve what happened back in Stalin's time. Okay, it's too late.
No.
It's over. What we can do is look at history, make sure that we never repeat the evils of history, that we never allow this to continue on our watch. And that's the whole reason to have this commemorance of Holodomor, to recognize it, to realize it, to shine the light of truth on it, and to say, hey, wait a minute, it's going on right now, folks, and we've got to stop it. If we're a moral people, we'll stop it. We'll stop murdering babies, abortion, and we'll also stop this war mentality around the world that's pro-death everywhere. We've got to shed the light on it, and I just wish there was more of us. Break down this column a little bit. One Wicked Truth.
Well, this was, you know, typically U.S. government officials are not honest when they talk about foreign policy. They talk about the 2003 attack on Iraq, whether they call that a liberation. And then the 2011 destruction of Libya, that was called humanitarian intervention, and so forth, right? They paint it with a white brush. But it turns out that a couple weeks ago, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was refreshingly honest when speaking about the newly imposed U.S. sanctions on Iran. He told the BBC that Iranian leadership has to make a decision that they want their people to eat, end of quote. It was an honest admission, Sam, that the U.S. sanctions are designed to starve Iranians unless the Iranian leadership accepts the U.S. demands. And so that was very interesting. It's like Madeleine Albright. Remember when she was Secretary of State, she said it was worth it that 500,000 Iraqi children died because of our sanctions on that country? Well, the very same thing is happening, Sam, right now. Pompeo is letting us know that a few million dead Iranians will be worth it if the government in Tehran can be overthrown. That's what he's saying in so many words. And so this is a moment of the wicked truth. He actually came out and said, look, we're going to starve the people of Iran. It might result in the death of a few million children, the people who are the most vulnerable in that country, but it'll be worth it because we will get what we want. The big bully will get what we want in Iran. And it's twisted, Sam. And then he went on to say he demanded that Iran act like a normal country or the U.S. would continue its pressure until Iran's economy crumbles. How twisted is U.S. foreign policy that Washington considers it normal to impose sanctions specifically designed to make life miserable for civilians? Is this normal behavior? This is, again, a great column by Ron Paul. He's asking these important questions, Sam, asking, is it normal for a country to starve another country? And actually, they don't hurt the leaders of that country. You starve the people of the country in hopes that the people rise up against their leadership. That's what we're doing in Yemen. We're hoping that Yemeni people will rise up against the Houthis and throw them out of power. Well, meanwhile, there's going to be millions of children and vulnerable people die in Yemen. And Pompeo's arguing, he's warning that they're going to die in Iran, too, because of these sanctions. And then he asks, we want Iran to be a normal country. Well, for one, it's not normal to impose sanctions on other countries so that you starve the people to death. Sam, I just don't understand.
Well, and on top of starving the people to death, though, we're literally, do you want to die slow of starvation, or do you want to die fast with a bullet or a bomb or a whatever, right?
Right.
I mean, that's the choices for these poor people.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so millions of Yemenis, they face starvation after 3 years of Saudi bombing and a Saudi blockade, which, by the way, is supported by the U.S. Navy. We are there supporting their blockade of the port of Hodeidah, and so because of the blockade, which prevents medicines and supplies from reaching the people in Yemen, they have a really hard time battling that cholera epidemic. They are not getting the help they need, and they're dying. They're simply dying, Sam. And this is. So it's not normal. It's totally abnormal. It's wicked. It's pro-death, Sam, for the U.S. government to be supporting the blockade there and then blaming the starvation of the Yemeni people on Iran. That's what Pompeo's doing.
Amen. Let's finish by talking about our current foreign policy, because I think that's kind of the understanding, you know, some of the details, whether it be this or whether it be Iraq or Iran, or I mean, we can go on and on. We're in over 130-plus nations, militarily speaking. Is the point, but U.S. foreign policy, one wicked truth kind of highlights that whole reality, and this is part of that bigger picture, right?
Exactly right, Sam. So just to finish up this column, Ron Paul's column about this, he says the U.S. government reportedly considering listing Yemen's Houthis as a terrorist organization for the crime of fighting back against the Saudi and U.S. aggression. Labeling the Yemeni resistance as a terrorist organization would effectively legalize the ongoing Saudi destruction of Yemen, as it could be justified as just another battle in the war on terror. And so this is a major plank of our U.S. foreign policy, Sam. We simply label a country, or we label a group as a terrorist organization, and then that, for some reason, gives us license to go after them and kill them, starve their people, and blame it on some other Middle Eastern country like Iran. This is not right, Sam. It's immoral, and the U.S. is an accomplice to this murder going on in Yemen. We simply need to reach out to our congressmen, folks. We are having a little impact. I mean, last week we reported that the mid-air refueling of Saudi warplanes has stopped. The U.S. is not doing that anymore, apparently. And so we are beginning to have an impact. So let's keep it up, folks.
The point is, take courage, ladies and gentlemen. Stand boldly, nobly, and independent. Be polite, but persistent, and absolutely demand to see change, or let's replace these Congress critters so that we can literally stand for pro-peace. We're not isolationists. We want diplomacy around the world and kindness and love, and we want to be the beacon on the hill. Final word's yours, Lol.
Well, Sam... Yes, Secretary Pompeo told one wicked truth last week, but before he demands that countries like Iran start acting normal or face starvation, perhaps he and us, the U.S., should look in the mirror. Are Pompeo and the neocons normal? I don't think so.
Amen. And Michael Jackson-esque, we want to see that change, baby. All right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Doing a phenomenal job. Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.